Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm so excited for this episode because I'm finally letting go of talking about the biblical lens. I know you guys are tired of me talking about it. I want to get into real scripture, things that are going to change your ruach and change the way you perceive this walk. Trust me, I am too, but I know when my ruach will not let go of something, that means Yah wants me to continue to talk about it until it comes to the end of whatever topic I'm talking about. So ascending smoke offerings and biblical lands will be, this will be the phase out, the fade out of me talking about those two topics. I hope everyone understands or understood the meaning of both of these topics. But before I get into what I really want, I am excited to be talking about, which is the treasure in works that we must do, not treasure in money stacked up, resources stacked up, but the treasure, the treasury of all of our works, our offerings, and the things we do that are righteous and upright and justified in the eyes of the Most High. Those things are going to be counted as like a bank. We're just depositing our works. We just don't know it. We don't know how many works we have because no one's counting if you give money to the poor or you've done something nice or you looked out for a widow, you looked out for somebody who's fatherless. We don't know because we're not supposed to be counting favors or counting how many times we bless people. So before I get into that, I am going to get into something that's on the fleshly side of the banking system, which is Donald Trump's Genius Act that he signed recently to regulate Bitcoin. I know some of you may may dilly-dally into Bitcoin and have been successful, but anytime you see the government try to regulate something, that means they're getting ready to crash it. They have built up the dependence of Bitcoin, so they already prepare people, especially when this coin, whatever coin that you invest in, has such major and fast swings. Like one day is up, one day is down, and when it's down, it's really down, and then they bring it back up. This is nothing but gambling to them. So they're getting ready, they're preparing your nervous system, since it's already dependent, your dopamine is already dependent on the swings of Bitcoin. When they come in to regulate it, that means once you see it starting to fall and tank, you are going, some of you are going to double down, which they call the sunken cost fallacy. Because you have invested so much money and time into one thing, and if it goes downhill, you would reason with yourself and say, you know what, I'm already taking it this far, I might as well take it all the way. That's what the sunk cost fallacy means. And they are hooking people on it because of their dopamine mishaps or their dopamine issues, and they're going to crash it, and they're going to roll out the CBDC, the central banking digital coin. It was like, oh, here is the solution. So you're going to get Hegelian dialectic into the central banking digital coin. They're just setting this up. Now, is this going to happen right after he signs this act? No. It's going to take a couple of years, but they just laying the groundwork. So when 2-3 years go by, you will forget that they have ever signed this into act. So when you're like, oh, what's going to happen? Why they do this? Why aren't they backstopping? Why aren't they helping us? And then they'll point to the Genius Act and say, ha-ha, we told you about this a while ago. It's almost like the same thing with the Noah laws that the first President Bush signed into law. I'm telling you, they've been laying the groundwork. That's why he was talking about the New World Order, and then his son was talking about the angel that rides in the whirlwind. They were already setting this up. Every law, every psyop, every ritual, every war, proxy war, everything has been laying the foundation and the groundwork to build up the Tower of Babel to keep us in perpetual slavery. That is it. That's what they're working towards. So if you are heavy into Bitcoin, I would say start watching your back and watching your assets. If you're using Bitcoin for a get-rich-quick scheme, I'm telling you, if you don't know how to pull back, if you don't know how to take the risk out of it and pull back a little bit, you're going to get caught in the wash. Maybe not in the next 4 or 5 months, But in the next couple of years, it's definitely going to happen. It has to happen around or before Agenda 2030. Like, these agendas are in place for a reason. They're telling us now. Why are they telling us now? Because they need the programming to be into our minds. We need to be okay with it. We need to laugh at it. We need to, like, discount it after a while for them to pop up and say, this is exactly what we told you we were going to do. It's called the revelation of the method. This is why witchcraft and their spells work. No one's going to say, all right, let's stop and tear this system down because they want to put this act or this law into place. No one's going to do anything. There's nothing you can do, to tell you the truth, but start walking a path that's more conducive to the Most High's words. That is how you survive. Now, the Most High is not going to put us in situations where we need to gamble or bet or take risks. We don't need to. All we do is wait on his blessings. We wait for him to put the pieces together or break pieces apart for the resources and for the opportunities to fall in our lap. That's how he works. That's why he doesn't want us to do anything. He doesn't want us to overextend ourselves in this system to get financially prepared. He doesn't want that. He wants you to rely on him, because what father you know, what parent you know doesn't feel good that their children rely on them? Maybe not some parents. I know some of you may have issues with your parents when, you know, you were down on the dumps and you tried to move back home and they was hating the fact that you were home and they tried to kick you out. I'm not talking about those type of parents. I'm talking about a parent that you know, or just an adult that you know that feels good about helping others. This is how the Most High puts his power into place. This is how he shows you and exalts you in front of your enemies and shames the enemy. That's the best way the Most High can present himself without having to push his face through the clouds and say, ha, this is who I am. This is what I want you to do. It doesn't work like that. The system is not set up for that. The system is for us to not rely on the Most High. It's not to have faith in anything but this system. That's how it's set up. The Most High has set up his words, his stories, his prophets, his people, so you know that you will be blessed. You will have prosperity, whether it be financial, whether it be opportunities in jobs, or children, a household. It will all come from him. And when it comes from him, nobody and nothing can take it from you. So let me go through the phase out of what I wanted to talk about. This may take two episodes. I don't know yet. But there's a lot of scripture here. In Jubilees 3, verse 26, it says, and to Adam also he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your woman and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat thereof, cursed be the ground for your sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat your bread in the sweat of your face till you return to the earth from whence you were taken, for the earth you are, and unto earth shall you return. And he made for them coats of skin and clothed them and sent them forth from the Garden of Eden. Now, isn't this like a parent? Did he catch you being disobedient? Instead of just breaking you in two, instead of just destroying you and starting over, I'm sending you out, so now you have to work for everything. Because you're disobedient, you have to work for everything. Do you understand what I was saying in the beginning of this episode? So when you are obedient to the Most High, you don't have to worry about having sweat poured in your face and you have to till the ground or do anything more than you would have to do it. When they were in the garden being obedient, they had everything. There was nothing that they lacked. It's only through disobedience that everything becomes harder for you. Y'all ever wondered when we were in the world, when we were in religion, how certain things seemed too hard or too far away from us that we couldn't reach it or we couldn't get to it? And no matter how hard we work, it just was out of reach and out of touch. A lot of that has to do with us being disobedient to the Most High. And when we became obedient, look how fast things happened for us. Look how certain things came to us once he knew that we were ready to receive them. This is all done through obedience. It's just so simple, except people make it, people take it farther than it needs to go. Because people don't want to lose the value of being something in this system. The value of doing it yourself so only you would have to go by your own laws, your own statutes, your own ordinances, and your own commandments. So people are willing to take a risk and a chance to try to get something fast and then not knowing that they have to be wicked or unrighteous every single day in order to keep it. And it'd be times you would be, things will get spoiled. Things will be taken from you. Just of either your lack of discernment based on how you live your life in this world, the rules that you followed, the images that you sought, the doctrines and the programming that you were susceptible to, that's how you lose it. Satan set this world up for you to be rich, yes, to be famous, yes, but it ends up costing your soul. And once you go through all that, you have wasted so much time going through these life lessons of being in Satan's system that when you wish to reap the benefits of your sowing, there's nothing left. There's no retirement. There's nothing saved up for you. Because you have not had knowledge in this system enough to keep it. And it says, on that day on which Adam went forth from the garden, he offered as a sweet savor an offering, frankincense, galbanum, and stacte, and spices in the morning with the rising of the sun from the day when he covered his shame. So this here is the very first example of Yah's creation figuring out that the Most High accepts offerings. This is the first man to do it. The reason why we still do it to this day is because of Adam. And he did it because he covered his shame because of the sin. So this is like the first man who created the system of offering for his sins. And of course, down the line, we abused that ritual. We abused that sense of worship or praise or repentance. We abused it so much that the Most High had to create a son for himself to walk in this world for us to pay attention to, for us to seek repentance. If we understood it from Adam's point of view and then left it alone, we would still be just offering for sins. We wouldn't be sinning as much, but we would be offering frankincense, myrrh, meat, drink, anything for our sins. But because of that fallen seed, it created the avenue for us to continually sin, and that ascending smoke offerings and meat offerings, drink offerings, or spices would just not do. I think the Most High understood this by just what happened after Adam and Seth and Enoch and all that. You've seen what men was capable of. Revelation 8. And I saw the seven angels which stood before Elohim, and to them were given seven shofars. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the Kodeshim upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the Kodeshim ascended up before Elohim out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven shofars prepared themselves to sound. Now, you go from the very first man doing ascending smoke offerings and offerings of spices. Then you got in Revelation, the end of the Bible, end of scripture, them talking about the incense or smoke being offered upon a golden altar. So where you think these Freemasons get this whole as above, so below nonsense from? They understood it because Satan's been up there. These fallen angels have been up there. They know exactly the ordinances and statutes that the Most High observed would be the same ones that we observe down here on this earth. The same powers that are up there, it's the same powers that are down here, just manipulated for Satan's purposes. But they know. The fallen angels know. I don't think truly Freemasons understand when they say, oh, as above, so below. I don't think they fully understand that concept. But if they are offering incense, and if they're doing the feast days, and they have an altar in heaven, there is no excuse. It really isn't. For us, if we set our hearts and our minds on the heavenly places, the things that are in heaven, then we should automatically know that what they do up there, down here, is the dress rehearsal. I think that's the best way I could explain it. This is the dress rehearsal in order to get up there. If you don't know how to do it down here, what makes you think you're going to get up there? If you don't have the heart, mind, soul to search your heart with everything you got to do exactly what they do up there, down here, what makes you think you're going to get into the entrance to be up there or when there comes down here? I think that's important. So from the beginning of the story of the Bible to the end of it, nothing has changed. The Most High says he doesn't change. Y'all keep forgetting that the Most High, his time and his calendar is not like ours. It's not 500 years for him. It's not thousands of years for him. It's literally like last week or the week before or yesterday when it comes to hundreds of years or thousands of years. So the time for him is completely different. So then when the Most High say, I do not change, why would he change? Do you change from one week to another? No, not really. Your behaviors don't change within a week. So that's why the Most High says he does not change. Time is completely different for him up there than it is down here for us. We've changed from, you know, obviously from 20 to 30 to years and 40, we changed as individuals. For the Most High, this last week, sending his children into the transatlantic slave trade was like last week. His son being crucified and risen up, that's like last week. Because we know in scripture it says that 1,000 years on earth is like a day in heaven. Now, going to Micah chapter 4, prophecy. It says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahuwah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. I read it again. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahuwah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. This is plural. This is not talking about a tableland of mountains and hills. He's talking about mountains. He's not talking about one mountain in the Golan Heights called Mount Hermon. He's not talking about that. He's talking about mountains, and at the top of these mountains is going to be above the hills. Now, Hebron Hills and the Judean Hills or the Judean Mountains or the Hebron Mountains, they only reach 3,366. I mean, if you add the 3 and 3 together, that's 666. They did this. Both mountains are the same height. That's geographically impossible for two mountain ridges, different locations, to be of the same height. That is a telltale that they're lying. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahuwah and to the house of Elohai of Yaakov. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahuwah from Yerushalayim. It says, we are going to go up. And like I said, South Africa You go upwards. If you start at Egypt and you wanted to walk to South Africa, you are going to be going up because South Africa is a higher elevation than Northern Africa. So you're going up regardless. And if you look at the region of South Africa, all those beautiful mountains in that region, this is what the Most High is talking about. But it says, he will teach us of his ways. Now, what is the Most High's ways? It's been explained to his children all throughout scripture. Like I said before, the first man found it in his heart to give offerings. In Revelation, they're giving an offering. Even symbolically, they're doing an offering. Teaching us his ways, we are going back to feast days. We're going back to offerings. We're going back to new moons. Regardless if you don't think we're going there, that's exactly where we're going. The Most High didn't teach Enoch his calendar. He didn't teach him the movement and the orders of his luminaries if we weren't going to use them, if we weren't going to use the new moon specifically. Micah 4, 11. Now also many nations are gathered against you that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of Yahuwah, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Prophecy. Prophecy. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron and I will make your hoofs brass, and you shall beat in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto Yahuwah and their substance unto the Adonai of the whole earth. This is, again, talking about offering. Just like what Saul in the transgressing the Most High's commands when he told him to eradicate everything, that Saul said, no, I'm going to take the best of the livestock and I'm going to offer it. Here, we're not going to have that distinction. The Most High is telling us in the future, or wherever, that we're going to consecrate the gain, things that we destroyed on his account of his righteousness is going to be offered to him. So from the beginning and end, in the middle, the Most High loves offering. Loves us offering to him. And the remnant, Micah 5, and the remnant of Yaakov shall be among other nations, in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among flocks of the sheep, who, if he goes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up upon your adversaries, and all of your enemies shall be cut off. Now you think of, who are our enemies? Spiritually, we got enemies. It's whoever is following the doctrines of our enemies. So our enemies not based on color. They're based on doctrine. So it had me thinking about Deuteronomy 30, verse 7, when the Most High said that if you come back to me, I will turn these curses that are on you upon your enemies. And this is more evident today than it was probably back then. So who were our enemies? Obviously, through our curses, the children of Ishmael sent us away in slavery. And during slavery, during the Arab slave trade, they used to castrate us. They used to seek out our women to sell them, basically taking it too far. And what do you see now of those who are attached to that Arab doctrine, which is Islam? You see them getting destroyed left and right with no hope in sight. No hope in sight, getting destroyed left and right. Then you got Catholicism, which through the Papal Bull of 1455 and Dum Dai Verses of 1432, I think, when they greenlit African slavery and being able to colonize us with Christianity. You're going to see their fall in the last days. They are being held and wherever they're being held at, and as far as whatever level that they're being held at, that's where they're going to be at until the last days. Until the Most High or his son himself deals with them, which makes a lot of sense, because we know that the Romans turned into the Roman Catholic Church, so the people who crucified him were the Romans. So it makes sense that Yahushua is saving them for last. Now, as far as Christianity, we all know what happened when we were over here. We got taught the slave Bible, which were edited scriptures and books that were taken out to make us more submissive. What do you see now that you could pinpoint that these curses are turning over onto the other nations, or the doctrine of these nations? You see Christians only use the book of Romans when they try to combat us, when we say that we are the children of Yahshua, or we should be following these commandments. They always run to the book of Romans. They themselves, Christianity, have created a slave doctrine unto themselves. They never go into the Old Testament prophecies and traditions and things that the Most High has instituted for us to show that we love him and worship him and praise him the way he ought to be worshiped and praised. They never do. They never talk about the Apocrypha. They never talk about Enoch. They never talk about the calendar. They don't know about new moons. They don't even do the feast days. They themselves have created a very small slave doctrine that's only used in Corinthians, Acts, and Romans. And it's more Romans than any other book that they use, because they think Paul conversed into being a Christian. So anything Paul says about there's no Jew or Greek or Gentile, they run with that doctrine specifically. So to take away power from us from following and guarding the Most High statutes and commandments. They and themselves have created a slave Bible. And they're not even in chains. They don't have yokes of iron around their necks. They don't have shackles on their feet. They're not going to chattel slavery. But they've created a slave doctrine that they cannot break from, that's going to lead them into destruction. That's why Revelation says, let he who is righteous be righteous still, and let he who is unrighteous be unrighteous still. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Do not stand in the way of trying to overteach something that the Most High has not allowed them to be awakened from. You have to understand that if these curses are going to turn upon our enemies, why are you going to stop it? Because you can't stop it. You can't stop anything the Most High has already predetermined was going to happen. Some of you are so frustrated because you can't wake up your Christian parents or your Christian friends or your Christian lovers. I'm telling you, you're not in a place to be waking them up. You don't have that calling or that power to wake them up. It's all based on the Most High's will and desire for his plan to be in effect, to show you who's really in charge. That's why some of us took a step back. Even me, I took a step back of trying to overteach and felt like you have to go to these people's houses and open up their eyes and say, hey, this is why you should do it, and this is why you shouldn't be doing this, and then have to show them the blessings and all the things that come with it in 24 hours, enough for them to follow you. It's that day ain't coming. The reason why y'all listening to me now is because the Most High called y'all for us to have an assembly together. It was nothing of my doing that made you listen to me more or continue to listen to me. It's all based on the Most High calling us together as an assembly. It is his way. It is his purpose. So I said this before and I keep saying it again, and I will say it again here. It's a beautiful moment for you Gentiles to understand the truth. If you don't turn on the TV or go to TikTok and don't understand, look at our people. Look at his own children. You ought to be so blessed and thankful, because there are a lot of Israelite children in this land that's just not getting woken up. He talked about in Ezra that my people is like sheep to the slaughter, that he will not suffer them anymore to dwell in the land of Mizraim, which we know also doubles for America. If you just watch us, like, for instance, recently Beyonce was in Atlanta doing a concert, So promoters, which I heard were janky promoters out in Atlanta, tried to have a trail ride. So they tried to capitalize on this newfound love for Western culture out of the Negro community. And they called it Dukes in Boots. Obviously, the Daisy Dukes and everybody's in boots. So Negro Israelite children were seen walking in 100-degree heat in Atlanta to go to a fake trail ride called Dukes in Boots, and all they did was complain. They would complain that it was too hot. They complained there was not that the water was hot. There was not enough water. They complained that there was no liquor. Even though those who had bought VIP cabanas, there was no liquor. All they did was complain. And they complained that there was no country music being played. All of a sudden, now I didn't know this, that Negroes are into country music. So no country music was played. It was more like an R&B concert. It's people cosplaying Western attire, listening to R&B. I mean, Lloyd was there. And you could just see some of these outfits. It was something to laugh at. But imagine you are not being a part of this group because you're a called out assemblied Gentile. That's a beautiful thing to understand. Even from your perspective, when you see, I mean, obviously you don't see any of the other nations go through so much programming as we have gone through in this land. So, I mean, it's easy for you to just leave a religion. But for us, we don't just leave religions. We go from one thing to another, to another, and to another, and to another, and to another. We just keep going until we tire ourselves out. And really, the people who are the demographic that's leading going from one thing to another is Negro women. It's a lot of Negro women going from one concert to the next concert, from the next trail ride to the next whatever thing they make up that's trending or hot. Women are going from one, and they're complaining that there's no men at these events. They haven't figured out for themselves yet that if they come to righteousness or come back to righteousness, they will be given everything that they hoped and wanted or desired if they walked right. There's a reason why in scripture it talks about how the women of Yasharel are haughty-minded, stiff-necked, walking with stretched-out necks, making a tinkling with their feet. It's the same thing here. Women of Yasharel putting on cowboy hats and Daisy Dukes, walking and stomping around in cowboy boots in 100-degree heat, leather, felt hats, and leather boots in 100-degree heat. That's almost like a parable. Like they went into this narrow corridor, everybody went from the Broadway into this narrow door, this narrow gate to get into this place. It's on a damn racetrack. In the middle of nowhere, it's a racetrack. So they walked 2 miles in the heat to a racetrack, in the middle of this racetrack, to see R&B performances. And then the people who got the cabanas and the VIP treatment, the treatment was so bad that they're complaining and they want their money back and they're trying to sue. That's what Satan has done. Satan has tried to give you every opportunity and avenue for you to not go to the Most High. You have to constantly trick your spirit, trick your ruach not to go to the Most High, especially when he's calling you. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing a lot of Negroes in this country knowing that they're being woken up, knowing they're being called and still denying it because they want to stay in this world so bad. And they staying in this world so bad that they're willing to cosplay being Western, cosplay being country. That's how far they're willing to go. It was not too long ago, 2 or 3 years ago, it was Hot Girl Summer. It was wearing wrestling outfits to go out in public. Then it was wearing pajamas to go out in public. Now it's dressing like cowboys and cowgirls to be out in public. That's how far we stray. But be blessed and be glad that you don't have that type of programming on your bloodline or on your mental to have to struggle through that part of it, the part of being in this walk. It says Micah 5:8-9. And the remnant of Yaakov shall be among the other nations in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts. And that goes to That really goes to the prophecy of the line, especially with Yehuda. And, you know, in Genesis, it says Yehuda as a lion's cub, as an old lion, you know, he's crouched. Who shall rise him up, rouse him up? I love that verse in Genesis. Micah 6. Hear ye now what Yahuwah says, arise, contend you before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear ye, O mountains, Yahuwah's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for Yahuwah has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Yasharel. O my people, what have I done unto you? And wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me. This is the Most High saying, tell me what I've done to you. Tell me. Tell me what I've done to you so you understand why I did it. It's almost like the parent thing when they spank you, like it hurts you. It hurts me more than it hurts you. This is what the Most High is as the ultimate father, as the ultimate parent. Please tell me what I've done to you. And then so I can tell you why I've done it. For I brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim and redeemed you out of the house of servants. And I sent before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now that Balak, your king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of Yahuwah. Now, what is that? If you go to Numbers 23, it explains what Balaam said to Balak, king of Moab. And Elohim met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And Yahuwah put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus you shall speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his ascending smoke sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab, and he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Yaakov, and come defy Yasharel. How shall I curse whom El has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom Yahuwah has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So this is the Most High saying when he brought us out that he was going to separate us from everyone else. And more, that he actually got Balaam. Balaam, son of Beor, a diviner, you might as well say a magician of sorts, got him to prepare 7 altars for an ascending smoke offering. The Most High has called even those that is not a part of his nation to prove to you that before you come to me, I'm going to make you go through a steps that the children are going to understand later why I made them do it. This is before Yahusha. So if the Most High is calling Balaam to do an ascending smoke offering upon 7 altars in different parts of the land to even get ready to speak his word, how important is learning the Most High's ways? Now, I'm not saying that you do ascending smoke offerings or drink offerings just to talk or converse with the Most High, but I'm showing this how the Most High cleanses somebody that he's not going to actually deal with, only deal with them for the moment, because we know in scripture that Balaam ends up being killed. So the Most High is breaking down how I want you to receive me. I'm telling you my rites and rituals. I'm telling you what I am and how I am to my people. And what got Balaam destroyed was that he became disobedient. Numbers 23, who can count the dust of Yaakov and the number of the fourth part of Yasharel? Let me die the death of Yasharim, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what have you done unto me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which Yahuwah has put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray you with me unto another place, from whence you may see them, and you shall see but the utmost part of them, as shall not see them all. And cursed me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Sophim, to the top of Pekah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by your ascending smoke offering, while I meet Yahuwah yonder. And Yahuwah met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his ascending smoke offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what has Yahuwah spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, rise up, Balak, and hear and hearken unto me, you son of Zippor. El is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of Adam that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I receive commandment to bless, and he has blessed. I cannot reverse it. So, if you know anything about the story of Balaam, and he's the one that rode on the donkey, and the donkey saw the angel, and moved out the way, and Balaam beat the donkey three times, to the Most High had to open up the donkey's mouth and say, and speak to him and say, oh, why did you beat me? Like, haven't I been nothing but good to you? If I'm moving out the way, it was for a reason. And that's when the angel stepped out. That had me thinking, now, do animals see the angels and demons, like, whenever they show up and then we just can't see them? Did the Most High give animals the ability to see beyond the veil, is what I'm saying, or what I'm asking? I wonder about that. But it also says in, I think, the book of Jasher, the book of Jubilees, that the Most High shut up the mouths of the animals when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And it says that they were of one tongue. Now, was the animals able to speak to humans? And humans was able to speak, or Adam was able to speak to the animals in the same voice. I mean, that whole Dr. Doolittle don't come from nowhere. The movie they did with Robert Downey Jr. and they did it, another one with Eddie Murphy, I don't think that came out of nowhere. So the fact that the animals, like the donkey, was able to see an angel and converse in the same tongue to a human just shows you that a lot of things were kept from us when we tried to learn scripture, or really having the real respect and fear of the Most High. Oh, where I'm at. Bear with me. Okay. He has not beheld iniquity in Yaakov, neither has he seen perverseness in Yisrael. Yahuwah Elohayu is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. El brought them out of Mizraim. He has it where the strength of a ram. Surely there is no enchantment against Yaakov, neither is there any divination against Yisrael. According to this time, it shall be said of Yaakov and of Yisrael, what has El wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion, and he shall not lie down until he eats of the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I you, saying that all that Yahuwah speaks, that I must do? How goodly are your tents? Then he says in Numbers 24, verses 5 through 9, how goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, and your tabernacles, O Yisrael, as the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the riversides, as the trees of lime aloes which Yahuwah has planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and in his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now, I already explained to you that if you go to David Rumsey's map collection and type in Agag, you see Agag all over Africa. So the Most High is talking about valleys. He's talking about gardens, riversides, trees aligned with aloes and cedars. Africa. El brought him forth out of Mitzrayim, and he has it were the strength of a ram. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses you, and cursed is he that curses you. This is the righteousness of Yahuwah mentioned in Numbers. Numbers chapter 23 and 24. And it came out of the mouth of a magician, came out of the mouth of the diviner, came out of the mouth of another nation, showing you the Most High can talk through anybody, as if you are willing to listen. And here, Balak, being the king of Moab, did not want to hear it, did not want to listen to the word of Yahuwah. No matter what he tried to do or where he tried to position Balaam, he's telling him, Balaam is telling him, like, it's nothing I can do. I'm telling you the words of Yah. I'm telling you that these people are blessed. There's nothing you can do to them. The only person that's going to be able to do something to these people is Yah himself. That's where our minds should go to when we go through our trials, our tribulations, our downturns, our downfalls, when our countenances are dropped low. Realize what has happened to you and why it's done to you. Is it to strengthen your faith? Is it to strengthen your character? Is it to strengthen your walk with Yah? Ask yourself, why does these things happen to you? And if you feel like it's not of Yah, then it's of a sin that you have not repented from. That's causing the unrighteous, or it's causing demonic activity to resurface. Because if you have not beaten certain things that's in your ruach, it'll keep coming up. It'll keep recycling itself in different ways. I've talked about this before. Say like you have a problem smoking weed. Then somebody who loves to smoke weed, or something that's bringing smoking weed as an opportunity to you, will come in different forms. If you have a problem with fornication, it'll come back in different forms. If you got a problem with porn, it will come back in different forms. If you got a problem cheating, it will come back in different forms. If you have a problem lusting, it will come back in different forms. If you close one thing off, if you don't attack it head on, and if you don't attack it in the way that the Most High has called us to attack sin, you will just cover it up and move on to the next thing. And you'll be like, all right, I just won't look at this page anymore, and then you'll see another page that'll backdoor you into the other page, and it just keep going over and over again. And you're thinking like, oh, I'm actually defeating my sin, but all you're doing is mingling it with another sin to cover up the last sin. Like, don't think Satan is stupid. Don't think demons are dumb. They know exactly how human nature and human behavior works. They know how it works. They know exactly when you're going to fold. They know exactly when you're at your limit. They know exactly when you hit a wall. They know it. They're just waiting for it. And understand that if we call on the Father, if we walk in his statutes and his commandments, we don't separate ourselves from the Most High, and he will not put us in a situation or put enough on us for it to be too much to bear. If he sees you and feels you struggling through it, he will uphold you. He will not allow you to be shamed by the enemy. I'm going to go to what I wanted to talk about now that I faded out the whole ascending smoke offerings and the land details. Now I want to get into the treasury of works. And I know it's going to be two episodes. I can already feel it. I'm already at the 49-minute mark. So I'm going to go through just this chapter in Ezra, the fourth book of Ezra, chapter 6, 1 through 6, and fourth book of Ezra, chapter 7, 75 through 77, and then we'll finish up with another episode. It says, and he said unto me, in the beginning, when the earth was made before the borders of the world stood, or ever the winds blew, before it thundered and lightened, or ever the foundations of paradise were laid, before the fair flowers were seen, or ever the movable powers were established, before the innumerable multitude of angels were gathered together, or ever the heights of the air were lifted up before the measures of the expanse were named, or even the chimneys in Zion were hot. I'm going to stop there. Before ever the chimneys in Zion were hot. Chimneys. If you look at that fake land over there, there is no chimneys in Zion, is it? No. Especially if the elevation of Mount Zion over there isn't not, it's not a mountain, it's a hill, and it's only 2,000 some feet. This says chimneys in Zion. So there's only one place that you would think have a beautifully elevated mountains and also volcanic activity is alongside East Africa. If you look it up, there's more than 100 volcanic activity in East or Southeast Africa. I'll go on. And either the present years were sought out and or even the inventions of them that now sin were turned, but for they were sealed that have gathered faith, that have gathered faith for a treasure. Then did I consider these things, and they all were made through me alone, and through none other. By me also they shall be ended, and by none other. So the Most High is not going to end his works of praise, his works of worship. He's not going to end it. The Most High is saying here, I have created all this. Before any of you existed, before there was religion, I created all this. Everything that you built upon, that it's false, corruptible, weak, unstable. Everything you have built, everything that you have built upon my foundations, which are sturdy to the core, which have been here before you and will be here after you, I can erase them whenever I feel like, and I'm the only one that can do it. The Most High is pronouncing his power. I don't think we fully grasp his power. I love when the Most High goes into the rhetorical talk when he talks to his prophets, because it's nothing you could say to answer him. When he gets into the rhetorical, when he says, who has done this? Who has done that? Who has done this? You know who did it. I wonder if y'all ever had parents, they'd be like, I know my father used to do this. My father's just like, I did this for you. I did that. I did this. It was like, who has done this for you? Who has done that for you? Who has been there for you? Is it a, it's like, it's rhetorical. You know who did, you know who was there for me. You were there for me. You know who was there for me. This is the Most High too. This is a man that deserves our praise and worship. We do not want to give him his praise and worship because we are seeking our own enjoyment through faith. We are seeking our own reverence through his words, through this walk, and not the reverence of him. I'd like to read that again. Then did I consider these things, and they all were made through me alone and through none other. By me also they shall be ended, and by none other. Power. Fourth book of Ezra, chapter 7, 75. I answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O Yahuwah, show this also to your servant, whether after death, as soon as every one of us yields up his soul, we shall be kept in rest until those times come when you will renew the creation, or whether we shall be tormented at once. He answered me and said, I will show you that also, but do not be associated with those who have shown scorn, nor number yourself among those who are tormented. For you have a treasure of works laid up with Elion, but it will not be shown to you until the last times. Like I said before, we don't know if any of our offerings, free will offerings, heave offerings, drink offerings, fire offerings, we don't know if they're ever accepted. But we know we are building upon our altar like a bank. We are depositing every time we do something righteous, every time we do something from the heart of eagerly seeking the Most High. These actions and our words, they rise up to the Most High and they are being put in a bank. Everybody has their own altar. Their own altar. Like a bank. So you don't know what you will be shown in the last times. But I guarantee you, Ezra was doing everything that we are supposed to be doing now that made him have a treasure of works laid up. Ezra was obedient, so obedient and clean, uncorrupted, that the Most High chose him to bring him up not seeing death. So when he says that he has a treasure of works, I can only imagine of him walking in righteousness, being obedient, but also doing the feast days, also doing new moons. I guarantee you he did it. These little works that are added into our altar, like added into the bank, we're depositing. Every time we do something righteous, every time we look out for somebody else and we don't want nothing back, every time we do a good deed and we give alms, those are being deposited. Every time we give a kind word, it's being deposited. Now, the only way that your bank can go into a recession or go into default is if you turn from your righteousness, as it is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. When it says, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and goes backwards, I will forget the fact that he was righteous in the beginning. So if you are a person that's righteous and you're adding into your bank account, you're depositing every other day, you're depositing. And you think, oh, this ain't, I'm not doing nothing for the Most High to even talk to me. I'm doing all these ascending smoke offerings. I'm doing all these new moon feast days. I'm doing his feast days. I'm reaching the people. I'm teaching the people. Why should I do this anymore? I don't feel anything from it. And they turn from their righteousness and go backwards. Everything they built up, everything that's in their bank account, went into recession or went into default. Closed. Now they're almost running on debt. They're not in the black, they're in the red. Literally and figuratively. So that's why it's important to understand that just because the Most High does not answer us every time we do an offering or every time we do something good or every time we pray, just because you feel like he doesn't say anything to you or you don't feel his presence, does not mean he's not there. Sometimes the test is, what will you do if I'm not answering? I think as an athlete, if those of you who have been athletes, it's always that same thing our coaches tell us. Like, it's not when the camera is on you to see what you're doing. It's when no one's looking, what do you do? I feel that comes from somewhere. I like to feel like it comes from mostly from the Most High. What are we doing when we think he's not watching? What are we doing when we feel that he's not near us or feel that we don't have that closeness with him? Are we only doing it for a dream or a vision? Are we only doing it to be prosperous in his blessings? Are we only doing it because we get to boast about it online? Are we truly doing it because we know that this is what this walk is and this is what it entails? It's work. People who are trapped in that slave religion don't understand there's work added to this. It's not just fun and games. And they have made Christianity fun and games. They made it about going to the nightclub to be called out assembly. They make it about performing to fill something. Mumbling gibberish, in order to think they feel something. Fall out on the floor. Rolling around, or tap dancing, huckabucking, and shucking in order to feel something. And they're empty. Their bank accounts are empty. They haven't deposited nothing, but they keep depositing into the Satan's bank that he won't tell you that receipt is going to eventually come due. And you're going to find out you have nothing in the bank. You have nothing. You have no treasure built up, especially not in faith, because faith urges you to go on. Faith urges you to seek out more than what you are used to seeking out. What I mean by this, once we started off knowing the truth, we didn't stop at just doing Shabbats on Fridays and Saturdays. We knew or felt after a while that it was wrong. So we grew from that. We were seeking. When we first started out, we didn't even know the Most High even had a calendar. We were following Judaism. But through searching and through patience and to following his statutes in obedience, he was giving us the Ruach Chokmah and Binyah, the Ruach of wisdom and understanding, for us to search and find more. When you're in a religion, your growth is stagnated. You don't go forward. Because your religion is based on people all being together doing one thing. One doctrine for billions of people. One thing. If your faith is what everybody else can do, then that faith is not, it's no treasure. There's no richness. You're talking pennies. You're not talking billions. You're talking pennies. If we're talking finances and religion, we're talking pennies. During those feast days like Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas dinners, those are pennies. Doing Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, that's the real money. That's gold. I'll go into Tobit. I'll finish this up in another episode. Tobit 4, 5 through 11. My son, be mindful of Adonai Elohanu all your days, and let not your will be set to sin or to transgress his commandments. Do uprightly all your life long, and follow not the ways of the unrighteous. For if you deal truly, your doings shall prosperously succeed to you, and to all of them that live justly. Give alms of your substance, and when you give alms, let not your eye be envious, neither turn your face from any poor, and the face of Elohim shall not be turned away from you. If you have abundance, give alms accordingly. If you have but a little, be not afraid to give according to that little. For you lay up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity. Because that alms do deliver from death and suffers not to come into darkness. For alms is a good gift unto all that give it in the sight of the Most High. For you lay up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity. So through giving charitable donations, and I'm not talking about GoFundMes and things like that. I'm talking about when you walk past a poor man on the street or a homeless man on the street, and you dig in your pockets, and whatever is in your pockets, you give to him. That is treasure being laid up. So say that you fall on hard times, and the Most High knows you're about to fall on hard times. The times that you did donate and give alms, the Most High will give to you seven double. And it even says this in scripture. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. But the Most High will repay you seven double which you have donated and gave to someone else. And he will give it back to you at a time that you may need something, or when you are in a financial need or in a financial bind. Trust me, it works. Trust me, it has happened to me. For me to tell you that it works. And I wasn't doing it in order for getting something back. I was just doing it because it was in my ruach to do it. I was setting myself up for my treasure later on, for my blessings later on. I know that Most High has called us to give alms. He's called us to look after the poor. He's called us to look after the fatherless and the widow. Now, when these opportunities come to me, say like a woman has come up to me when I was going to the grocery store, and she came up to me out of nowhere. And after a while, I'm starting to understand that I attract that because the Most High knows, like, I know that my servant, my son, is going to look after this woman. So this woman came up to me like, oh, I'm broken down. I have no gas. Da, 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 da. Can you give me money for gas? Here, car, boom, boom. I get in my car. I'm out. I know that if they ask me, I know the Most High has put me in their path because he knows I'm following him. And he knows that I'm going to do what's best, that was going to look best for him, that's exalting him in front of the enemy. I may not see the enemy. There may have been demons around me waiting and watching. It could have been the same test of Job. Like, look, I bet you won't help these people out. I bet you won't help these people out. And Most High is like, all right, watch me put them together. And then watch it happen, and then I was blessed later. I'm like, ha, shamed you. You thought my servant, my son, was going to turn away from those who are in need. I would like to think that every time I do something good, I'm depositing something. It's almost the same way with words. When they say in Enoch that your words are being written down in the heavenly tablets or being recorded in the heavens, I believe it. It's almost we have to watch what we say. Almost a lot watching what our watching what we do the most, though. So that is the treasure of works that we need to start understanding. And a lot of people try to pass this off, especially Christians. They say, oh, it's a works doctrine. It's a works doctrine. No, it's not. The Most High called us to do the work. Called us to worship and praise him the way he ought to be worshiped and praised. Especially when he constantly tells us the things that he has done for not only the nation of Yasharel, but the thing that he has done in order for us to be sustainable in this land, in this world, under this firmament, that at moment's notice he can rip the rug from underneath of us. That's basically what he was saying in that passage. When he talked about before this, before that, he said it all came through me. So when it ends, it will also come through me. That no one else can destroy this. Some people getting straight, oh, nuclear holocaust, the nuclear weapons, and this and that. They're not going to destroy nothing. That's just fear to make you think that man has more power than the Most High. Because just because you haven't seen the Most High moved yet, you assume that he's not there. And it's going to come to a time, and it's mentioned in Ezra, I think, or Baruch, that people will give up hope. Because they will say that the Most High no longer remembers the earth. It has to get completely destroyed in order for the Most High to renew it himself. He's saying it's not going to be destroyed. He's giving you hope that it won't be destroyed. I would have to destroy it for it in order for it to be destroyed. But I'm going to replenish it after man has thought that he can destroy what I created. And that's all man is doing right now. Trying to find ways to destroy something that the Most High has created. China has just sent a rocket up in space, or they thought was space. And all you see when you see this recording, it skip off and ride along the walls of the firmament. There's no way to where a rocket goes up and starts teeping over, and then you see all this electromagnetic vibrations that every time this rocket was skeeting along the firmament, it just kept showing this electromagnetic stuff coming out of it. Like you bumping into the firmament, it wasn't like a wall, but it's obviously if you hit it, you could see how it's being hit. And it was dragging all along the firmament. If you ever look at why they make rockets at the top, like especially Blue Origin, how those rockets, basically look like a dildo, but it's like the head of it isn't like it's piercing anything. It's there to raise the firmament. They making these rockets because they know these rockets go up to the firmament and they skeet and bounce off. If they really wanted to make a point, they would make those rockets like an arrow, literally like an arrow, to see if they can go, but you would see it destroyed. You would see it blow up. They keep showing you like, oh, look, the rockets are going up, and the rockets always teeter over, and they make you think that it's going out of space because you just see it at a different angle. There's a reason why those rockets at the top are made the way they are, just so they don't blow up. You're like, oh, they blew up another rocket. No, them rockets skeet off because of their round-shaped noses. They skeet off, and they go right around, right down the wall of the firmament. I got excited about this episode. I like talking about the treasury that we have for ourselves and the works that the Most High has called us to do and the things that he has mentioned in scripture. It makes you really take your mind off you and put yourself more in his shoes and knowing that why we are called to serve him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, because we are trying to seek a place that only he has created for those that he has elected to come into this truth. And those he did not elect to come into this truth, you are going to see how how true and real his judgment is. I'll see y'all next time.